Well, we'll start out. My name's Bob Hoffmaster. It's Bob, not Robert. And I came to Long Beach in 1923. And I first attended Lincoln's Elementary School and then Whittier Elementary School. And then I went to Hamilton Junior High School at State Street and Alamitos Avenue. That is presently the City College BTD school, I believe. I went to Long Beach Poly High School, and then I went to Junior College, as it was called then, out at Wilson High School, and attended 1 year of Junior College out at the brand new campus in Lakewood. I then worked a year for the Board of Education in their engineering department before attending the University of California, Berkeley. After going there, I came back and went to work for the Harbor Department, and this was...
Can I ask you one thing?
Charlie?
When you worked for the Board of Education, what did you learn about why all the schools fell down during the earthquake?
Well, I'll tell you a story, which I don't know whether it's true or not, but it was the prevailing thought at the time. The Long Beach Board of Education, in about 1923 or thereabouts, had to build a great many schools because Long Beach really boomed after World War I. They took bids on the schools to begin with, and the prices all came in too high. So they rebid them, and the word was put out that inspection wouldn't be as rigid as they thought it would be. And also in those days, there was no knowledge of earthquake-type construction, such as we have now, so that the schools were built, and they were nice schools, but there was no idea of them being built to withstand an earthquake. Some of them, such as Old Poly High School, were built out of concrete block, or not concrete block, they were tile block. One of the schools there was built entirely out of tile block. Now, this wasn't one of those that had been built in 1923, but it was the old school there. And this type of construction was never expected, or could never have been expected to stand up to an earthquake. So that when the earthquake came along, brick that were held together, not with cement mortar, but with just lime mortar, which has relatively no strength, and the fact that the bracing and the tying of the building together just didn't exist because buildings weren't designed that way in those days, so the buildings all fell down. I think there were 33 schools with an average of 3 buildings per school that fell down at that time. And so that when I was working there, we were rebuilding the schools in Long Beach, and the state had come up with a new law. I've forgotten its number and its name, but it was the basic earthquake law under which all of the new schools, in fact, new buildings had to be built by. And that's the beginning of the present-day earthquake design methods. And lots of places in the world still don't design buildings for earthquakes. But enough said on that.
Okay, you went to work.
And so I came back and went to work for the Port of Long Beach. Now, this again was a fluke. There was an engineering organization here in town owned by J.H. Davies, was the ranking engineering organization in town, and I was supposed to go to work with for Herb Davies, as he was called, but there was an election for a school bond election, and I was to go to work as soon as the school bonds passed at this election, except that the school bonds didn't pass, and so there was no work. And so I went down to civil service at the city hall and took the test and took for a job and passed the exam for job of chainman on survey crew. Now this was way beneath my dignity, but at the same time I needed the job. So I went to work as a chainman for the Port of Long Beach, and so really my going to work there was a happenstance. And I was only going to work there on a temporary basis because I wanted to do a different type of work, I thought. But anyway, I went to work in 38, and there was almost just a small organization. I went to work for Charlie Vickers, C.L. Vickers, who was the chief surveyor, and I don't think there were more than 15 people in the organization at the time. It was at 130 South Pico in a U-shaped building on the east side of the street, and I think Don Marshall was the general manager. Ann Sturman was the secretary, and there was Charlie Vickers and Charlie Bland. No, I've forgotten exactly who all worked there, but not very many, and the Harbor Department had no money, or virtually no money. There was just a little coming in from oil wells on what we now call the uplands. They were on in what is known as the town lot now. There were half a dozen oil wells which were on property that the city or the harbor owned in the harbor district, but they were not tideland wells.
What were they?
They were, first the city had an incinerator right next to the entrance channel on Ocean Boulevard, between Ocean and Water Street, and so there were wells there. There were wells, a couple of wells, right back of the Harbor Department office building on the property that the harbor owned. The harbor had a maintenance yard, and there were wells on that property, so that I think these were the wells, which are what we now call upland wells. But in those days, they were in the harbor district, and the money from them was used to pay off the bonded indebtedness that the harbor had already incurred, and also to help or to support and run the harbor. But these were just a few wells, but they did make the harbor solvent, because in those days it was just the ending of the Depression, and there wasn't much money. In fact, at City Hall, in the spring of the year, they laid people off because they didn't have money enough to keep them, or else they paid them in warrants, as they called them, which we took down to the bank and paid the bank to cash, because there were checks against defunct account, in effect. So the Harbor Department having oil money, it had enough money to cover its checks, so we were very lucky along those lines. Now, we wanted to talk about oil.
Yeah.
In Long Beach.
Yeah, I thought maybe we could talk about the first whale was the first Thailand's whale wasn't drilled in the Wilmington field. Hadn't been drilled yet when you came to work there?
The first Thailand wells had not been drilled when I came to work there. I've got some notes here which I think I'll try to use.
Okay.
And we'll talk about oil in Long Beach in general, starting out first up on Signal Hill. At 9:30 p.m. on the 23rd of June in 1921, oil was discovered on Signal Hill. Now, the population of Long Beach at that time was about 55,000 in 1920, and it went to 120,000 in 1923. Now, much of this was due to the oil boom on Signal Hill. A lot of it, of course, was that World War I was over and people were flocking to California. But anyway, in 1921, Shell Oil had their first well up on Signal Hill. Now, it wasn't until 1937 that oil was discovered in the Harbor District. And the Harbor Department immediately started to drill on the property which they owned. This is the property which I've discussed previously. Now, they were stopped by a taxpayer suit in January 1938. Now, the suit claimed all the oil belonged to the state. In the Marshall decision of the court, the decision favored Long Beach and said that Long Beach, the Thailand oil and also the oil in the Harbor District, belonged to the city and because of the Harbor District being a separate department, in turn the city said it belonged to the harbor, but it also stipulated at that time, as I remember, that Upland oil was to be used to pay off the bonded indebtedness that the city had, which I think was $10 or $11 million at that time. On the 8th of March of 1938, it was the first Harbor Department well. Now, I don't know where this well was, but I think it was one of the Westgate Greenland wells. That was over in the western part of the town lot area. That was the area bounded by the entrance channel and the LA River, or the flood control channel, and Water Street and Seaside Boulevard. This we called the town lot area in those days. And at the west end of that, there was an incinerator, and there was a maintenance yard and some other property owned by the city and by the Harbor Department. And I think the Westgate Greenland wells were the first wells.
Who drilled them?
Westgate Greenland.
Is that an oil company?
That was an oil company.
Okay.
And so that...
And the Harbor Department just made a lease with them?
Made the usual lease. I don't know whether it was 1/8 or 1/6 or whatever it was, but it was a typical lease at the time, and Westgate Greenland drilled the wells, and the Harbor Department got their royalties. On the 8th of March, In 1939, we had the LBOB contract. Now, this was the most lucrative oil contract ever. As far as we know, or knew at that time, no other organization, such as a city, had come up with such a contract. The contract was that the city owned the oil field, owned all the equipment, and hired LBOD, which was a consortium of several oil companies, and I've forgotten who they were. I'd have to, we could look that up and check and see who it is. But I've forgotten now who it was, who was the consortium. But under it, the city received, I've forgotten, 62% or something of that nature of the oil, or the money from the oil. And this was really something as comparing it to the usual 1/8 royalty and things of this nature. So that was considered a very innovative contract, and the people who did it, I think, did a very fine job. On the 29th of April of 1939, the first well on the Tidelands property was spudded in. Now, I drew up the plans for locating these oil wells because I was a draftsman in the office part of the time, and other part of the time I was chairman on the survey crew. So I drew up the plans which showed the location of the wells, and then as a member of the survey crew, we went out and staked these first wells on the Tidelands. And this was the beginning of the oil in the port and the beginning of the harbor as we know it today, because up until that time there hadn't been enough money really to support the harbor as it needed to be supported. And so with the oil money coming in, the harbor could go ahead and in its development. Now, the development of the harbor is another story, but on the oil, why?
That's one of the things I'm interested in, is what the oil money was spent for.
Well, it was spent to develop the Port of Long Beach. I'll continue here a little bit on oil, and then we can drop back to the story of the port and some of its people. In 1947, the Atlantic Richfield contract on Parcel A, that was for oil in an area to the east of the harbor. The wells were along the diversion dike of the LA River and whipstocked over underneath Parcel A, which was generally south of Ocean Boulevard, east of the diversion dike, and over to about Magnolia Avenue, something of that nature. It was a quarter of a pie in there. Now, one of the things which came about because of the production of oil was subsidence. Now, we first noticed subsidence in, I'm guessing 1940, 1941. It was before the war. We were working on roads over on Terminal Island, and the Navy was building the Navy base, and our surveys wouldn't check. We had a fellow named George Gardner, who was a chief of party on survey crews, and we were trying to put in roads over on what at Seaside Boulevard is called now, over by the Edison plant, between the Edison plant and the Navy. The Navy was building the dry dock and were dewatering the area, which was causing localized subsidence. But George Gardner would come in and so he couldn't make his surveys check from one day to the next, or from one week to the next. Now, George was a fine fellow, so don't think what I'm saying is derogatory to him, but we would say, oh, George, you better change your brand of whiskey, something of that nature. And we as young fellows, and he was older than we were, and we would give George the raspberry. Well, it wasn't for a little while later we began to realize that he was right, that actually the land was sinking, and we didn't know why. But this was the start of a very bad situation, which continued clear up until 1965, I would guess. But anyway, that's another subject which we should cover in its as a separate item, I believe. And it wasn't until 1953 that the Pioneer injection program by the court got into being. And this was the injection of water into the strata, which was, the object was to bring the bottom air pressure up to a certain amount such that it would stop subsidence. And this was effective and did do its job. And in 1958 there was a Subsidence Control Act, which and I'll have to check into that, but to be sure, but anyway, so that the whole area could be unitized and everybody was injecting water to protect the whole area. Now, until 1965, the Petroleum Division of the Long Beach Harbor Department managed the oil production for four parts of the oil field. There was the LBOD Tidelands parcels. That was the area south of Seaside Boulevard and on the Tidelands. The Richfield Parcel A that I mentioned formerly, but and then Harbor Department owned Upland Wells. This was on property which was owned by the Harbor Department, but which was not Upland, or which was not on the Tidelands. And then there was city-owned Upland Wells, like the gas department owned some property up north and things of this nature. So we were handling four basic operations that being handled by the Harbor Department. Now, on the 1st of January of 1965, the Department of Oil Properties was formed. And this was by an election by a charter amendment. And the Harbor Department of Oil Division was transferred to the city manager's office. And all oil money went to the city. No more of it after that date went to the harbor. Now, in 1965, the Thumbs contract was signed for the Thumbs work, which is for the oil properties, the oil on the Tidelands in front of the whole city and to the west of the Harbor Department operations. So that really, on one hand, it was right that the Department of Oil Properties should be formed, because otherwise it would have been the Harbor Department handling the oil for the city, which might, at that time, the Harbor Department oil income was rapidly going down, and the Thumbs operation was coming into being. The only thing I didn't like about it was that after 1965, virtually no money came from the city to the harbor. That is, there was a gentleman's agreement at the time that all oil money which came from LBOD would continue to come to the harbor. But it never happened. So that effectively, as of 1965, the harbor hasn't received any oil funds from oil operations. So that since that time, the harbor has had to be self-sufficient. That's a period of almost 20 years now. But it did have enough cash flow, or has had enough cash flow, and through what I think is good management, it has managed to continue to develop. But it was this oil money which caused the harbor to come into being. Now, I'll go back and look at my notes again. To see Yeah.
Could you talk about why you happen to have all this wonderful information all in front of you?
Well, I'll tell you why I have the information. I was asked if I wouldn't prepare a talk for the port ambassadors. I remember the port ambassadors. They're a group that businessmen from the Chamber of Commerce who try to help out at the harbor. And they asked me if I wouldn't make a talk to them about the history of the port. And so I went ahead and made up my cards for a half-hour talk. Well, I found out that in order to do it, I have enough cards here for a 2 or 3 hour talk on several subjects. But anyway, that's why I have the information. Now, while I was chief harbor engineer, I had written or had written, I didn't do it myself, but I had written a history of the port. And now I retired in 77, and I think the last time that history was brought up to date was about 1975, something of that nature. But I had that information. And then during the years, the port was always in court. Everybody wanted to take the money away from the harbor, whether it was the federal government or the state government or the city of Long Beach or private interest. Everybody was trying to get their hands into the pockets of the harbor department and get ahead of that money. And so that we were in court on many things. And in order to fight these court cases, we had to go back and go into a great deal of history of the ranches and of the grants from Spain, and how the titles were cleared and who owned what property. And so that I have a great deal of information on that, which I had available, and so I went back and read some of that up. I didn't do a very deep study of it, because after all, I was thinking about a half-hour talk. But as I went along, I just kept making out my outline cards of each part of the history and the various problems that we had as we went along, and that's how I come up with this information. And some of it, when I come back and read the cards again, since it's been 2, 3, 6 months since I made them up, why I don't remember what I read, and I don't remember as well as I used to either, and so that I have my problems on knowing exactly what I meant to say on some of the resumes that I have on my cards. But anyway, that's the situation.